officials. Pray for the peace of Israel and our missionaries serving the Middle East. Pray for the upcoming elections. Kim Dunn requests prayer for Ramsey Butler. Please continue to pray for him. Sharon Crawford is in the hospital at Sanford, and it appears that the medications are having some side effects. Miss Janice, you've been right there with her, and God bless you for your care and concern. She's about the same. Better today. Well, good, good. And but you know, if you've had those painkillers or medications, and they give in the hospital, sometimes I remember I was in the hospital and. A number of years ago, and I was telling my wife, be sure to tell them to get that German Shepherd out of the waiting room. And she said, what? I was sure I saw a German Shepherd in the waiting room. I had not been out of my room, but I was sure I had seen one in the waiting room. And you see all kinds of things because of those. But please be in prayer for Sharon. She needs the circulation in her legs. We're thankful that the doctors decided not to amputate at this point. So we're very thankful for that, but please pray for her. It's a very serious condition. Rosalie Rehnquist, she's home from the hospital. She'll be having more tests and possible surgery in May. I talked to her when she got out. I just missed her at the hospital. I think this was Wednesday. Missed her at the hospital yesterday. Boy, she was just, you know, typical Rosalie, just on top of the world, you know, and continuing on and talking about how she'd witnessed to the doctors and all this kind of thing. But pray for her, if you will. Valerie Stevens had knee surgery, and she's at Fish. She'll be going to rehab soon, and pray for her, please. Eleanor George will be traveling to Missouri for honoring her husband. Norma Wyman had surgery. And she is in rehab. Pray for her and her back surgery that is healing and all of that. A lot of pain that goes in with this, but she's praying that this will take care of her back condition. Pray for our teens that are going to camp this summer, and pray that all the teens will take the opportunity to go. And may it never be said that money is the reason why they can't. There are families in our church that have multiple teenagers, and it would be devastating financially at the price that they offer, you know, for camp. But yet there are many families in our church that don't have young people, at least not living at home anymore. And so if you would like your teenager to go, please let Brother Aaron know, and he will very anonymously handle that. And there'd be some of you, perhaps, that would like to help sponsor a teenager to go to teen camp, summer camp. So may it not be a financial problem that's keeping someone away. Mary Goodspeed requests prayer for her daughter, Pamela. Saw her at Fish, and she had surgery, but she has gone back in for a second surgery on her neck. So pray for Pamela, if you will. And Flor Sanchez, I request prayer for the family of Marie Barrett. Marie passed away from a brain aneurysm as she was delivering her baby. So in the act of childbirth, she passed away. So please pray for this family. Marie Barrett is her name. And then if you'll continue to pray for Mary Butler, Jean Ann Godby, Lydia Buck, Mark Fleming, Rod Mills, Gary Sherrill, Rick Elkins, David Goss, Wesley Perry, Stacey Levy's father, and Ray Procius, Carol Alderman, Alicia Robles, Lou Sukup's neighbor, Daryl, Stephen Van Ravensway, and Rusty Chukowski's father. Praying for the Mark Edwards family, ministering in Brazil, doing a marvelous job, and they keep us informed, and they send us prayer letters, emails all the time. You know, because of technology in this day and time, there's really not a whole lot of excuse if a missionary is on the field and has access to the Internet. Now, they may not have access to the Internet, such as the case with Cassie Fleming. When she has to go for supplies back into town or back into a village that has moving from the jungle to the village, when she can perhaps get some Internet that is sometimes on or off in the village, you know, that's a different story. But some missionaries have access to that, and churches don't hear from them for months. Now, they hear from the churches every month in giving, you know, in support and things. And so our missions committee keeps an eye on that, and that kind of demonstrates perhaps a greater problem going on in someone's heart. That's not the case with these missionaries. The Edwards family and the Bob Ellis family, we're thankful for their work as a U.S. chaplain. And so if you will, lift these up, if you will. And then these folks in the nursing home in Orange City and in DeBerry Manor, Savannah Court, and Oakwood Gardens, all of these. And our armed forces, please pray for these that are listed here. And I hope you'll take this as a tool, as a something you can keep in your Bible. And when you're having your prayer time with the Lord, it gives you a good target to pray. And there are many other requests, I'm certain, on each of our hearts. Pray for Sunday. Pray that God will do a great work in hearts. There's Bill Gamble's memorial service will be here Saturday at 11 o'clock. And he went home to be with the Lord. He hasn't been in our midst for quite some time. He was in a nursing home facility, and then the family took him to Texas, but he passed away there in Texas. But his family wants to have a memorial service, a small service here at 11 o'clock. And just pray that God will speak to some of their hearts. If some of them are not saved, what a marvelous opportunity. The last chance for Bill Gamble to touch their hearts and their lives. So pray about that, if you will. Other requests tonight on your heart, if you'd raise your hand, anyone else? Okay, many, many hands, many hands. All right. Brother Richard, if you come, please, sir, and lead us in prayer, if you wouldn't mind. As he leads, would you, maybe there's two or three of these requests that kind of impress to your heart, and lift these up to the Lord as Brother Baird leads us.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your love and your grace to us. We do lift up our missionaries to you that are serving throughout the world, and those that are presenting the gospel. May hearts be drawn to you through their work, but it's your Holy Spirit that draws all men to knowledge of the Savior, Lord. We just lift up West Virginia to you, the revival that started up there in the youth. We just pray for wisdom for the churches and the communities that this is happening, that your word will go forth, and may this be a fire that's going to burn through the nation. We thank you for Governor Crist and all that he is doing. He's taking a stand as a man, and he's taking a stand that he might get end his career as a politician, but we thank you for him. Give him grace and wisdom as he stands for children that are still in the womb and those that don't have a name, but you know their names, Lord. We thank you for the Crisis Pregnancy Center here in the area that is taking a stand. We pray for the Watts on Saturday, that you'll be glorified and that people will understand that there is a center near them that they could go get help. We lift up all the young ladies that have chosen life for their child. We thank you for their willingness to do it, and we pray for wisdom for the counselors there and those that work in that facility. Father, we lift up the Barrett family where the one young lady passed away. We pray for the family, but the joy of a new life and a new start. We lift up salvation in that area. We pray for healing for those that are ill, those that have that are tired and weary, and those that are on fire. We pray for them that they'll continue to go and proclaim your word. And we just give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Page 747 in your hymn books is a great song. There is sunshine in my soul today. You can remain seated if you like. Let's sing the first verse together.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky, for Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine. the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus, listening, can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. On the last, there is gladness in my soul today, and hope and love and praise for blessings which he gives me now, for joys in future days. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul.
Amen. Even though there might be clouds outside, you can have sunshine in your soul. You can have a glow about you. Not just a plastic, silly smile, but a genuine joy. When people spot that, it might be in the spring of your step. It might be a hum or a whistle as you walk. It might be just the way that you respond to difficult circumstances. When people observe that, they're going to see something different. And they're going to say something like this: what are you on? I'm on the rock. Oh, really? Wow, what rock? Jesus Christ, the rock of ages, and sunshine in our soul. Well, God bless you. Any folks visiting with us tonight, is there anyone here? We'd love to welcome you. And if you just raise your hand, let us introduce you. Anyone visiting here tonight? I see a lot of home folk. All right. Well, don't want to miss anyone. So glad that you're here. With all that's going on, we do need to pray much for our leaders. They're being squeezed in a vice. If they care anything about politics, if they care anything about their future, and if they are relying upon themselves to do that, then they find themselves in a vice. And in their heart, they know, many times they know the difference between right and wrong. But the pressures of the world are really coming in and coming on them. This thing about the restrooms and children in school and all of that, that's disheartening. Principals being vilified who take a stand and say, no, girls go in the girls' restroom and boys go in the boys' restroom. There are people who really say that they are confused about their gender. They say that they're confused about that. You know, there's a help. Depending on how old they are, you can always draw their attention to their driver's license. If they're confused, they could look at that, and that would be a help to them to know what their gender is. If they don't have a driver's license, then they should have a birth certificate, and that should help clear up the confusion. I don't see what all the confusion is. But we live in a perverted world, a corrupt world. And it is no surprise these kinds of things are happening. It's going to get worse and worse, and then it's going to get better. Jesus Christ is going to come back. So let's continue to be a bright light. Let's continue to be a soul-saving station right here. Not to get distracted and detoured into some of these avenues that could consume our efforts. Folks are still dying without Jesus Christ, and they're going to a devil's hell, and Democrat, Republican alike. And I ask you, please, to point people to Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He's the answer. Well, I encourage you to make sure that you get your graduates' names, if you would, to Brother Aaron. If you have someone graduating from high school or college or postgraduate degree or something like that, please get those names to him, because that'll be coming up on May the 22nd, very quickly. And, of course, May the 8th, in a couple of weeks, just a week after Sunday, is Mother's Day. Mother's Day, we have a special gift for every mother who attends. And then we recognize some special mothers. And God willing, something that we have never done on Mother's Day. I don't think since the church has been in existence, we have ever done this, something brand new, and it will bless your heart. And so I encourage you to be here on that morning and evening. And Voices of Victory will be singing, I know, that morning, and that's always a wonderful thing. So if you're a mother or grandmother, invite your children to come and be with you on Mother's Day. Perhaps if your mother or father do not attend church, maybe you could invite them to come with you to church and take them out to dinner. I encourage you to get some reservations somewhere if you're going to do that, unless you're just going to use the time in line to kind of catch up. You know, that would be okay, too. And then I mentioned about the teen camp, Teen Camp Extreme, and I mentioned about that. So make sure your teenagers get signed up. Please, please do that. Don't miss this great spiritual opportunity. As a youth pastor, I saw this happen. I saw parents pay big money for their teenager to go to cheerleading camp, or for their teenager to go to a football camp or basketball camp or whatever, because it was really required for that event. It really was. But you see, you didn't have to pay the money to go to church camp. That wasn't really required. And so they said, well, do you want to go? No, Mom, I don't really want to go. Okay, I won't make you go. Please take a different posture on that. Parents, please do. And if your teenagers are in here, then the gig's up. They know that Brother Mark has put you up to it. So you can blame me, okay? But I encourage you, please, to do that. And then May the 15th is Scribe Day. Now, we're not going to have the scribe presentation on that day. But the Paul Pitts will be here in the morning service. He will sing one song and do one scene from the scribe. And on that day, we will present, Pastor, we're going to present what our goal is for the scribe event, August 27th. And this is, again, something different than we have ever done here at this church. On that night, the 27th, I'll just tell you this much. On that night, the 27th, our goal will not to be to fill up this auditorium. Now, you can just let your mind, you know, wonder what we're talking about. But this is going to be an awesome evangelistic effort. And so we're going to explain all about that on the 15th in the morning on Scribe Day. So pray about that. And Scribe Day is, of course, talking about August 27th. Well, 795, this is a chorus you might need your book for. 795, we are so blessed. We'll sing it once, then we'll stand and sing it again. 795.
We are so blessed by the gifts from your hand. I just can't understand why you've loved us so.
That was a new song to most everybody. How many of you, that's a new song to you? Oh, wonderful. Let's stand and sing it again. Let's stand and sing it again. Then we'll shake hands. Now, if you notice, that first line, we kind of repeat that first and second line, okay? So if you got lost there, that's what we're doing. You have to get down to the end of that first part there and then go back and repeat the second line. Here we go now. We are so
blessed by the gifts from your hand. I just can't understand why you loved us so much. So blessed, we just can't find a way for the words that can stay. Thank you, Lord, for your touch. When we're empty, you fill us till we overflow. When we're hungry, you feed us and cause us to know. We are so blessed. Take what we have to bring. Take it all, everything. Lord, we love you so much.
Great message, great message. Let's shake hands and fellowship one with another. Be friendly now. God bless you.
You may be seated. I want to thank you all for your kindness. Thank you so very much. It was not Governor Chris, it was Governor Scott. Thank you. You are so kind. You could have thrown apples or tomatoes or something. But ushers, come on down, please, if you would. So make sure you send it to Governor Scott. Amen. I apologize. When pastor's not here, you know, there's a new person to make fun of right here when, you know, things kind of, it's amazing, all the distractions of things that go through your head and mind and things. So I appreciate your kindness. You're so loving. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing upon this offering. Alex Weiss, would you lift your voice, please, and ask the blessing on the offering? Yes, God. Amen. God bless you.
well, Brother Ben Bowder is coming, and he'll be singing. I encourage you to get your Bibles ready. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 7, and we'll look at that in just a few moments. Pray for Ben. He'll be here for a few more weeks, and then he's going to spend about a year in Japan. He's going to spend it there with his grandparents and prepare for what God has in store for him, and just opportunities. Give the Lord the full direction of your life. So we're praying with you. God bless you.
Jesus, do you know who he is? He's the very Son of God, he's the King of Kings. Have you heard of the gospel? Do you know what it is? It tells us Jesus died for us to save us from our sins. This is the best news that we could ever hear. More than amazing, it drives out every fear. By trusting in Jesus Christ, in his saving sacrifice, we can be the promise God has made to us all, that if we turn from our sinful ways and put our faith in his Son, he will freely forgive us, he will wash us clean, and when we stand before his throne, he will shout, "Welcome in." This is the best could ever hear. More than amazing, it drives out every fear. By trusting in Jesus Christ, in his saving sacrifice, we can be trusting in Jesus Christ, in his saving sacrifice, we can be made new, we can be made new. Thank
you, Brother Ben. Thank you so much. I've never heard that song. Beautiful song. Beautifully done. Thank you. Well, I hope that as you came in, that if you wanted an outline, we had those available back there. And so we could possibly get those for you if you want one. But those are available if you'd like. Oh, okay. Some guys are up. If you would like an outline to jot down a few things on, just raise your hand. The ushers will get these to you. And might be something to doodle on. Have you ever run across someone who would draw something, and as a result of drawing it, they could recount pretty much most everything that was said? You know, I don't know. It's all in how you take notes, you know.
But I do encourage you. It might be something that you can jot down something on, and might be a blessing to you, because this subject probably has or will affect all of us. Doubt. We could divide this group tonight into three sections. Those who have in the past dealt with doubt, a spiritual doubt. Those who are presently going through times of doubt. And the third group, those who are brain dead. Because in a Christian's life, and I hope that you'll see this in this passage, in a Christian's life, it is normal, it is not best, but it is normal to doubt things. To doubt things means that you go back to the source and you clarify and you confirm and you know why you believe what you believe. And so doubt can actually strengthen our stand for the Lord. I'm not encouraging you to delve into lies and all these kinds of things. You're going to find enough of that on your path as you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find people who proclaim to be atheists or agnostics, and they will give you their little pat questions that they have knocked over other Christians with. And it might knock you over, and you might come back to the pastor and say, "Hey, so-and-so at work asked me this question. What should I have said? You know, I don't know. I've searched. You know, what should I say about this?" And so you turn back to the Word of God, and you get a good answer for it, and your faith is strengthened. Now, we're looking at probably the strongest believer in God, it appears, who has ever lived. The strongest human being, spiritually. In fact, Jesus said so. And yet, he had a time of doubt. And so if it could happen to John the Baptist, it can certainly happen to Mark Sears. If it happened to him, it can happen to you. And so dealing with doubt, I'm asking you to look, please, at Luke chapter 7. And let's begin reading, please, in verse number 19. Dealing with doubt. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" When the men were come unto him, they said, "John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, "Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How did the blind see? The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached." Now, we're going to spend some more time in this passage than just those few verses. But let me draw your attention to what is going on in this point in history. It has been a year and a half since John the Baptist baptized Jesus in River Jordan. Year and a half has passed, and John the Baptist is now in prison. Now, even though he's in prison, he obviously can have some communication, some visitors, and these types of things. And so he's hearing what is going on. And so you would have to admit that there are probably some concerns about him being in prison, just that in and of itself. But there was something else that I think really, really concerned him. And there are things that concern us in this day and time. There are people that are searching for truth. Buddhism, Islam, atheism, all these kinds of things. They're coming to a point of decision, and it's really all the other ways or the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is exclusive. Heaven is exclusive. Christianity or the Baptist denomination is not our religion is not the way of salvation. A relationship with Jesus Christ is the only door to heaven.
He is the only one who paid for the sins of the entire world. He's the only one who raised himself from the dead. He's the only one who proved that he was the Son of God. And he is the only way that someone can come to God the Father. Through him, through Jesus Christ alone. John declared this in John chapter 1, verse 34. He said that this was the Son of God. He declared it in John chapter 1, verse 34. Behold, the Lamb of God which saves away the sin of the world, John the Baptist said. And now, a year and a half later, he's sending word by his disciples. Okay, I don't understand what's going on. Are you the one we're supposed to follow, or do we follow another, seek for another? So there was doubt. I encourage you, in the midst of circumstances that God may allow into your life, there may be some things that will take place that you don't expect. You don't expect some things to happen that are going to happen in our lives. And it'll be a sad condition, just like John was in a sad condition. Here he was alone. The only thing he did was stand up for righteousness. The only thing he did was to stand up and call sin, sin. And by the way, it's awfully easy sometimes if we try to tag on all kinds of labels to things. When God just calls something sin, it'd be a whole lot easier to deal with if we just named it and call it what God calls it. And he said to Herod, it's not right for you to take this woman as your wife. You know, steal this woman as your wife. That's not right. And Herod cast him into prison because of that. Because he named sin, sin. John was in a sad condition. You ever been in a sad condition? You know, it just depresses you. Imagine with me, John the Baptist, he's sitting in this cell behind bars or behind the stone wall, and it's a cold environment, and he should be out proclaiming repentance. He should be out pointing people to Jesus Christ, but no, he's pent up in this prison. A sad condition. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Not a depressed mind, but a sound mind. Not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let me remind you of something. No matter what condition we find ourselves in, we are still a child of God. If you're saved, if you're redeemed, you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And one day Jesus Christ is coming back in the clouds, and we're going to be raptured out of this world, either through the grave or through the air. One of the two. One of the two. And so let me encourage you to remember that in the condition of this life, sometimes bad things do happen to good people. John the Baptist was a good man. He was a good man. And he was a man who had great faith. He was a man who stood when no one else was standing. He was a man who thundered as he preached without fear. And here he was in a prison. I don't know what prison you might find yourself in. I know there are some people probably watching by way of live stream. And they might find themselves in a prison of physical ailment, illness. And they might be asking this question. Lord, what did I do to deserve cancer? Lord, what did I do to have to be in this wheelchair? What did I do to be all alone and no one can take me to church because I can't drive at night? Lord, what was it? Show me. I'm sorry. Let me ask you something. What do you think the answer would be to John the Baptist? Lord, what did I do wrong?
Nothing.
Then why am I here?
Trust me.
Bad things sometimes do happen to good people. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction. Now, remember who said that? Do you remember the Apostle Paul and all the things that he went through, being stoned and shipwrecked and beaten, running for his life, people wanting to kill him? Every which way he turned, there was tragedy. And finally, laying his life down for Jesus Christ. And he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. He didn't focus on the here and now. He focused on what is awaiting him in eternity. He said, it worketh for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. Some people I've talked with, and in their heart, they struggle in their spiritual walk. And they look at the things that they've done in their life, and they say, oh, God could not love me. God could not save me. God could not forgive me. Say, hold on now. Do you remember the Jesus when he died on the cross? Before he died, he turned to his heavenly Father, and directing his attention at the and his speech at the people who were responsible for taking his life, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If they saw him in all of his glory, they would never have laid a finger on our Savior, Jesus Christ. They did not know truly what they were doing. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. If he can forgive them, he can forgive you and me. Jesus loved you. He died for you. But some people just can't forgive themselves. I asked them this question. Say, no, wait a minute. If God will forgive you, but if you won't forgive yourself, then you are putting yourself up to a greater position than God. And that, my friend, is idolatry. What God says is paid for is paid for. It's finished. Put it behind the cross under the blood of Jesus Christ to remember it no more. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep your eyes ahead on the goal. But for those that have struggles in their heart, 1 John 3:20 says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. Bad things happen to good people. And then secondly, sometimes good things happen to bad people. Now, you'll find that in this passage, a few verses prior. Let me just draw your attention, if you would look at verse 2 of chapter 7. A certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, and beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man of under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Here's a Roman centurion. Jesus is applauding his faith, using him as an object lesson, and he's healing the servant for whom he is burdened. He's healing his servant, doing something good, hear me now, for the enemy. Doing something good for the occupational force, the ones who are occupying, the ones who are telling Israel what to do. Now, you have to remember, the kingdom of God that they were looking for was a physical kingdom. They were looking to be set free from the Romans. They were looking to rule and to reign with a Messiah. John the Baptist was looking for that, and he was pointing to Jesus, saying that he was the Son of God, he is the Lamb of God, he's the Messiah, he's the promised one, I'm not the one, I'm the forerunner, he's the one, follow him. Some of his own disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, left John the Baptist to follow Jesus. He said, amen, follow him. A year and a half later, no doubt John the Baptist is wondering, okay, when's this kingdom going to start up? I really believe that Jesus truly is the Son of God. When's it going to happen? And then he hears things like this, that Jesus, instead of overthrowing the Romans, he's helping some of the Romans. So he's scratching his head. What are you doing? God, what is he doing? Did I get my message messed up somewhere? I thought for sure you said, whoever I see the Spirit of God descending on and remaining on, that he is the Son of God, that he is the promised one. I saw it. I heard the voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I was there, but somehow, some way, did I get my wires crossed? Have you ever been there? Have you ever had God's directive and God's direction in your life, and then it kind of goes haywire, and you say, did I mess things up, Lord? What's happened? And so he sent a word back. John was in a sad condition. He wanted a confirmation. He wanted a sure confirmation. May I remind you here quickly that he asked the right question. He asked the right question. He said, art thou he that should come? Verse 19, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? He asked the right question. The question was about God's plan. The question was about God's will. The question was about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I would tend to ask in a situation like that? Lord, why are you doing this to me? How long am I going to have to be in this prison? It was not about John the Baptist. That was not the question. He asked the right question. He wanted God's kingdom. He wanted God's plan. He wanted God's will. May I tell you today that we don't have that kind of faith. We don't have that kind of belief. Our faith is colored by what we want and what feels good to us. Most of us are spoiled Christians. John the Baptist was not a spoiled Christian. He wasn't. And so he asked the right question, and he also asked the right person. Go to Jesus. Ask him. You know, many times when we're struggling with things in our own life, we'll go to a friend. We'll go to a counselor. We'll go to a book. We'll go to a seminar. We'll go to a television broadcast. We'll go to all kinds of earthly ways to try to get an answer, when we should just get in a dark room, close the door, and say, Lord, I'm here to talk to you. I need to hear from you. I need to know, am I still on the right path? That's what John the Baptist was asking. Am I still on the right path? I'm in prison, and I'll accept that as long as I know I'm still in your will. There's some people that would say, Lord, there's some things going on in my family, and I don't know why. I don't know right now what to do about it. Is it something that I've done wrong? Please show me so I can correct it. Please, God, I pray, make sure that I'm on the right path. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who has the power. He has the one who has the strength. He is the one who has the care and the love to do something about it. He just wanted a sure confirmation. That's what he wanted. He just wanted to know for sure. I was 6 years old when I trusted Christ as my Savior. The only thing I knew was John 3:16. The preacher went through and showed me that verse just little by little. And as a six-year-old boy, I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I didn't understand everything that I should for, you know, great growth spiritually, but I understood enough to be saved. Later on, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit would convict me about something when I was, you know, older as a boy. I'd done something wrong, I'd be sitting in a church service like this or a youth meeting or something like that. And Holy Spirit would convict my heart and the preacher would name some things in my life. You know, I'd say, yeah, that's me. Oh, I got to do something about this. And I went forward two other times to get saved. Okay? I didn't understand and realize that when Jesus paid for my sins, he paid for all of them. Past, present, and future. In fact, when he died on the cross for me, all of my sins were future. And when my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, nothing could blot that out, because written in his precious book, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Hereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." The Word of God is the more sure word of prophecy than experience. If you look in 2 Peter, you'll find that the context is talking about those who stood there on the Mount of Transfiguration and saw Jesus in his glorified form there with Moses and Elijah. And you know, what they saw was a glimpse of eternity, just a little hiccup, a little glimpse of what Jesus was like in some of his glory. And he said, you know, even that doesn't come close to the eternal word of God, the more sure word of prophecy. Now, let me help you here. This blessed my heart, and it might bless yours. I thought a lot about what Jesus sent back as a message, as an answer to John the Baptist. He could have, you know, really slam dunked him. He could have said, "How dare you?" You know, if there's anyone who should have constant, unwavering faith in me, it should be you, John the Baptist. This is embarrassing to everyone else who's heard. You know, what are they going to do? He doesn't say anything like that. Not a thing. He doesn't criticize him. What does he tell him? Look at it, please. I hope that you noticed it. Chapter 7 and verse 21, "In that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel, the good news is preached." Now, that may not mean much to you and I, but when that message got back to John the Baptist, here's what clicked. Prophecy, 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 being fulfilled, being fulfilled, being fulfilled. The evidence was clear. The proof was overwhelming. And it was based upon the prophecy that God gave in the Old Testament. You see, Jesus could have said, "I have not changed. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. You tell John the Baptist, I'm the same one who's in Jordan River. You tell him, I am the Son of God." He did not point to himself. He pointed to the Word of God. He pointed to the evidence that was being fulfilled in the prophecy of God's Word. The cure for doubt in a believer's life is the strength of God's holy word. That's where the power is. And Jesus turned his attention back to the prophecy that was being fulfilled before their very eyes. He didn't have to say any more. He said, just tell him that. And we don't find anything else, no other messages, no other texts or emails were being sent from the prison from John the Baptist. That settled it. I go back to my account about my salvation. My dear mother, she's probably watching by way of live stream. I woke up one night and was afraid that Satan was going to come and get me. Had a nightmare. I might have been 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old, something like that. And she took her Bible. It was a red leather Bible, I remember. She took her Bible and she opened to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And she said, "Now, Mark, do you remember in church we sing this song?
But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. She said, you remember that? Sing it with me. And I sang it with her. About 2 o'clock in the morning. I sang it with her. And she pointed and she said, look at that verse right there. That which I've committed unto him against that day, we gave him our sin. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. He forgave our sins. And those sins are in the depths of the deepest, darkest sea to be remembered no more. The Bible says it right there. From that day on, my faith stood upon God's holy word, not upon my feeling, but my faith stood upon the rock of God's promises. May I remind you today, please, don't falter and flounder in the reasoning of this world, but found your faith upon God's unchanging word. Well, John was awarded a supreme commendation. Let's look at this, please. Verse 24. The Bible says, and when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out in the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say, unto you much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Okay, this blessed my heart too. Because what I saw in this passage is that John the Baptist got real honest. He opened up his heart. Life and death will do that to a guy. Okay? He got real honest and he said, am I right? Are you the one? Things aren't matching up the way that I expected it to match up. The circumstances in my life certainly don't look great. And it seems like that you're not doing what we expected, but I'm just checking here. Are you really the one? And in the face of that, and his faith is weakening a little bit. You know what Jesus did? He ran to his aid. It was as if he just reached up and bolstered him up. And he said, you've got to know the heart of this man, John the Baptist. And he went through. He said, who do you think? Just something just blows in the wind? No, he's an oak tree, in other words. He's a giant of the faith, in other words. He went as far to say, of those men born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Now, hold on. If we get honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I just don't understand what is happening in my life and in the world. I want to trust you. I believe in you. Help my unbelief, like the disciples said. You can safely say that to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say that when you humbly present yourself and say, Lord, I need you. I need your help and your protection and your understanding and your wisdom. I want to trust you in the dark like I trust you in the day. When you say that, you're not going to find reproof coming from heaven. You're not going to find rejection coming from heaven. You're going to find redemption. You're going to find the closeness of the Lord. Say, I understand. I understand what you're feeling. We see the response of Jesus. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's what Jesus did for John the Baptist. He picked him up,
set his feet upon a rock, establish his goings. Remember in Psalm 73, jot that chapter down on your notes, if you will. Psalm 73. The psalmist wrote, David said, as for me, my feet, my steps were almost gone when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, all that was going on, the prideness of their heart, until I went into the house of God. Then understood I their end. Yeah, there's a lot of upside down things going on in our world. But guess what? It's been that way from the beginning of time. But you see, time's going to come to an end one day, and eternity will begin, and everything will be turned right side up. Make sure you're on the right side. The response of Jesus, and we saw the resume of John. The resume of John. Jesus giving him a commendation. I don't know about you. I'm not sure if we really grasp what this means. To hear the Creator of the universe to one day say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Good to see you. Well done." To hear an attaboy from God. To have congratulations. To say you've done well. This he said right after an expression of doubt. May I just make this statement? That John the Baptist may have begun to doubt, but that was because he still believed. Now, a person might think, what is the opposite of doubt? Excuse me. How about this? What's the opposite of faith? Say, well, doubt. No. No. The opposite of faith is unbelief. Unbelief. And there are times in a Christian's life that a person will, I had that seesaw, and it should have unbelief on the other end. Should have unbelief. And there are times that our faith wavers. If it happened to John the Baptist, please adjust your halo and admit the fact that you perhaps might have a moment of doubt as well. If it hasn't happened in the past, it may happen in the future before you know it. And when that takes place, make sure you do the same thing that John the Baptist did. Ask the right question. Go to the right person and found your faith upon God's holy word. That never changes. That never changes. There are some Christians that are described in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, he that lacketh these things, what? The things of walking with God, character traits listed here in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Why? Because he is disobedient to the will of God consistently over and over in his life, and where the power of God is missing. It is obedience that expresses our faith, that visualizes our faith. There's a man named Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball, he was a Sunday school teacher. You may not recognize his name at all, but Edward Kimball had a real burden for boys and girls, boys that were in his Sunday school class. In 1858, he led a Boston shoe clerk to give his life to Christ. The clerk's name is Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody became an evangelist. In England, in 1879, he awakened an evangelistic zeal in the heart of Frederick B. Meyer, pastor of a small church. Many of you know the name F.B. Meyer. He was preaching to an American college campus, and he brought to Christ a student named J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman engaged in YMCA work, and he employed a former baseball player. Billy Sunday, to do evangelistic work with the YMCA. During that evangelistic work and campaigns, Mordecai Ham was brought to town to preach. During Ham's revival, a young man named Billy Graham heard the gospel and yielded his life to Christ. It all started with one young Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball. Look at the last verse, verse 28. When he says, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than that than John the Baptist." Look at the last statement Jesus said there. "But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Edward Kimball is in heaven. And I just wonder what his crown looked like for his faithfulness. It was a domino effect, of souls being saved. Because he was obedient in his faith. It's not what we don't understand about the Bible that fouls us up. It's the stuff that we do understand and that we don't do anything about it. That's what trips us up. You say, "Well, I can't really do much about that. I'm nobody special." There was a young man who probably could have said that as well. He was born in a very, very poor area. His mother died when he was very young. And before he was 18, after the Marines and the Navy decided not to enlist him, he convinced the Army to let him fight in World War II. And he had his sister help him forge the documents to get in early and ahead of 18. He was 112 pounds soaking wet. You look at his face and he's a little boy. He looked like a little boy. You may know where I'm headed with this. Audie Leon Murphy, born in 1925. He's one of the most decorated American combat soldiers of World War II. Receiving every military combat award for valor available from the U.S. Army, as well as French and Belgian awards for heroism, the Medal of Honor for valor, Congressional Medal of Honor. And you know the stories about this young man. Holding off a complete German company single-handedly and then mustering a counterattack against them, and when he was completely out of ammo and all the stories. He came back to America for a hero's welcome. Lo and behold, he started an acting career. He looked so young, and he played himself in a movie about some of these exploits. It's the son of a sharecropper. He went out to pick cotton, try to help support his family. To try to earn some money, he went into the Army. He was concerned with one thing, and that was doing the will of his commanding officer. One day, if we'll be concerned with one thing, and that's doing the will of our commanding officer, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and in the midst of circumstances and conditions that we can't control. And if there are doubts that come in, we just say, "Lord, I have some doubts. I'm wondering, what do I do with this?" It happened to John the Baptist. Go ahead and deal with them and put them away. Deal with it and then put it away. And don't let doubt and fear, neutralize what God wants to do in your life. Deal with the doubt. Don't let doubt deal with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we have a prayer-answering God. I thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I thank you that we can come to you with the deepest, darkest secrets of our heart. Lord, you know us, you understand us, you love us, and you have our answers. Lord, may you help us to walk with you, to learn of Jesus Christ in our life,
And Lord, as we heard earlier, to put it into practice in our daily life. Lord, I pray now for that one who came to church needing something. I pray that your precious holy word would have encouraged their heart. I know that you laid this message on my heart for tonight. So, Lord, no doubt it was for someone. Thank you for the encouragement your word is to my heart and my life. Bless our pastor, empower him, and use him as he finishes out the revival meeting there in West Virginia. Bless on Sunday in a mighty way. Lord, may souls be saved. Lord, may lost folks come to hear the gospel, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Good to see you tonight. And I do trust you'll be in God's house on Sunday. Sunday school, 9 o'clock. Sunday school, 9 o'clock. Be in your class somewhere. God bless you. Amen.